Your Bible and open to the book of Romans, chapter number 3. We'll continue our study in the book of Romans. We started this chapter last Wednesday night. We got through about verse 20. And last week, we had the bad news. Verses 1 through 20 was the bad news. And that had to do with condemnation under sin. The title on the notes says it all, I think. The whole world is guilty before God. And so we need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. We need to be justified. But we are condemned because of our sin, verses 1 through 20. And there were several questions that were asked and I think answered by the Apostle Paul in those first 20 verses. The first question was, is there any advantage in being a Jew if the Jews are condemned? That's verses 1 and 2. And then the second question, has Israel's unbelief canceled God's word? That's verses 3 and 4. Third question, does this give man an excuse to sin? That's verses 5 to 8. And then the fourth question was, is the Jew better than the Gentile? And that was verses 9 through 20. And basically what we saw there was that Jews and Gentiles are all guilty before God. And again, they need a Redeemer, which brings us to the second half of the chapter, verses 21 to 31, and this is the good news. And the good news is that justification is possible, but it is by faith. Justification is by faith. Almost all of the religions in the world promote this idea that you can get to paradise or get to heaven by means of your good deeds, your good works. And, of course, we know from God's word that that's not true. The only way that we can get to heaven is by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Anything else is man trying to work his way into heaven. It's works righteousness, which never, ever got anyone into heaven. The righteousness that we need to get to heaven, by the way, is greater righteousness than any of us can ever come up with. And that's the righteousness of Christ. So it's very important that all of us understand, and when we talk to others, remind them that you can't be good enough to get to heaven. None of us can. We all need a Redeemer. We all need a Savior. And we need the righteousness of Christ to get us there. So this section of this chapter deals with that thought, that justification is by faith. You notice, if you would, verse 21 says, but now, after the bad news we had in verses 1 to 20, but now the righteousness of God, notice this, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that do what?
Believe.
Isn't it amazing to think that you can be right with God by just believing? It has nothing to do with works or, you know, my church attendance or my giving or anything like that. I am allowed to be right with God just by believing. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful means of salvation. It's by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. And you notice it says here at the end of verse 22, for there's no difference. I think it's important to remind ourselves also that people that were redeemed in the Old Testament were redeemed the same way that people in the New Testament are redeemed, and that's by faith. And that's by believing. You know, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's what the Bible says. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You see, the law never saved anyone. The law will never save anyone. The only thing the law does is show us that we're sinful and we need a Savior. But the Bible says in the book of Galatians that the law is our schoolmaster to point us to Christ. It's like a teacher or schoolmaster to point us to Christ. The law can't save. The law never has saved anyone, never will save anyone. The only thing the law does, basically, is condemn us because it shows us how wicked we are. Keep something here in Romans chapter 3, but go with me, if you would, to chapter 9. We're going to look ahead just for a little bit. Chapter 9 of Romans and verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. And we'll read through chapter 10, verse 4. Here it is, Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, here's the problem, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We'll stop there. If we can go back to chapter 3 again, you can see, I hope you can see, that the problem for Israel is that they were trying to be right with God by keeping the law. And you can't be right with God by keeping the law. It has to come down to belief in Jesus Christ as your Savior, recognizing I can't keep the law. There's nothing that I can do to keep the law, and therefore I'm condemned by the law. And because I'm condemned by the law, I really need a Savior. I really need a Redeemer. I can't get there on my own. Righteousness is not possible on my own. So justification is not possible on my own either. Is there a certain amount of money that you could give to your church that the Lord would say, okay, that's enough. Now you can go to heaven. There is no such amount. You could give every penny that you could ever earn in your whole lifetime, and it still won't get you into heaven. What about good works? Are there enough good works that you could do that you could one day hear from the Lord, okay, that's enough good works, you can get into heaven? No, there is no such thing. It just doesn't happen. Righteousness and justification, both of those two fit together here. They can only come by way of believing in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Any other way that man tries to get to heaven is not going to get him there. He's going to be disappointed. He's going to come up short. He's not going to make it. So it's only available through belief in Jesus Christ, what he did for us on the cross. It's apart from the law. Well, somebody might say right away, well, then what good is the law? Well, remember, it points us to Christ. It shows us how wicked we are. It shows us we come up short. It shows us we need a Redeemer. Again, it points us to Jesus Christ. You come here to verse number 22. Again, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference, for all have sinned. Think about that. All have sinned, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, free and bond, educated and uneducated, Baptists, Catholics, Methodists, Lutherans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice verse 24, being justified freely. That's a good word, isn't it? Freely. I pause there for effect. I want you to think about that. Justified freely. It's not based on anything I did or anything I gave or any anything really responsible by me, being justified freely by His grace, God's grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. What a verse. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, verse 25, whom God hath set forth, Jesus Christ is the whom there, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. I want to stop just for a minute and mention this word propitiation, because the word propitiation, kind of a big word, and we don't use it a whole lot in our modern, you know, speech and vernacular and so forth. But that word propitiation has to do with God being satisfied concerning payment for your sin. And the only way God is satisfied as far as the payment for your sin and my sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. So God hath set forth Jesus Christ, whom, that's the whom there, Jesus Christ, God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness. Notice that, not your righteousness, but to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, again, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, justification will never happen by means of the law, and it is only available through Jesus Christ. Think about what I ask now when I ask it, but just let it sink in after I ask the question. Are there going to be any Baptists in heaven? It's a little bit of a trick question. You know what I'm saying, don't you, Rebecca? There will be some Baptists that will make it, but once we get to heaven, are we Baptists?
No.
No. And that's why it's a little bit of a trick question. Are there any Baptists in heaven? No. Because in heaven, we're all Christians. And we didn't get there because we were Baptists. We got there because we were Christians. Because we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Because we have believed on Jesus Christ as our Savior. One of the things that I think is really emphasized in this chapter also is we really had nothing to do with it. You know, if we had something to do with it, can't you just see heaven if it was up to us on how we got there and so forth? You know, I mean, just I can just see different ones puffing out their chest and boasting about how they got there. And, you know, if you just knew what I did when I was on earth, I mean, if you just knew how much I gave, if you just knew how much I prayed, if you just knew how much I witnessed, if you just knew, on and on and on and on and on. And yet, when we get to heaven, we know this from God's word, don't we? When we get to heaven, there's no boasting. You realize that there's no way that any one of us will be able to boast once we get there. Because there's nothing that we did to get us there. You know, there's a place here where it says, where is boasting then? And then it says, it is excluded. Nobody will boast. Nobody will boast. It's kind of just the opposite of what happens, you know, here on earth. Because here on earth, when people do good deeds, other people applaud. Here on earth, when people give lots of money, people applaud. Here on earth, when people do great things, people applaud. Or they get written up in a sword of the Lord or something like that, you know. I'm not against the sword of the Lord, you know, but they get acknowledgement. They get some kind of praise from men. You know, where is boasting then when you get to heaven? Well, the Bible says it's excluded. Here's another question. When we get to heaven, who's going to get all the praise? God is. Jesus Christ is. Lowell Hansen won't get any. Seriously, though, nothing against Lowell. Mark Weiss won't get any. Dave Dalsrin won't get any. I go through the whole list here, all of us. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. There's only one that will get praise in heaven, and that's Jesus. He's the one that made it possible. He's the one that gets us there. He's the one that, and I love this, once he saves us, he keeps us. If you and I had to keep our salvation, we couldn't. So yes, you know, on the one hand, there will be baptism in heaven, but when we get there, we're not going to be going by that name, I don't think. I think we're just going to be Jesus Christ's sons and daughters. I mean, we're going to get to heaven because Jesus made that possible. The righteousness required to enter heaven is by faith of Jesus Christ. According to verse 22, it's the righteousness required to enter heaven is given to anyone who believes on Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's verse 22 and 23. No works required, no gifts required, only faith. And then there's some real important words here. Justification, like we've seen the word justification already, but for instance, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification, I mentioned this last week when we were closing, is simply God, think about this now, is simply God declaring us to be righteous. This is just me talking, okay? But I'm thinking, now wait a minute. I'm not righteous. But God says, yes, you are. Because you've believed on my Son as your Lord and Savior. I declare you to be righteous. I don't know what it does for you, but I think about myself and I think, I'll take your word for it. But I know me. I know who I am. I know the thoughts I have. I know the deeds I do. I know, you know, I know all about myself. Very, very, very good. But God has declared me to be righteous and he has imputed his righteousness to my account. So, rather than, you know, like these two pieces of paper have all kind of print on them. And the print, of course, in my case, it'd be a lot more sheets than this. But the record of all my misdeeds and the things I shouldn't have done, all, you know, but the Lord has wiped all that off and instead put there his righteousness. How amazing is that? I don't deserve that. I've not earned that. I don't know about you, but even after I've been saved, I haven't deserved that or earned that. But there it is, because the Lord, he declared me to be righteous. That's justification. And then another important word here is redemption. That's also in verse 24. Being justified freely, I love that, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption is deliverance from sin and its penalties by the paying of a price. Well, who paid that price for me? Jesus did. And that scripture that I have here in the notes, 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, mentions to us the fact that he paid that redemption not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He paid the price for my redemption. The price of Jesus' blood on the cross is the only price that could be good enough to take care of my redemption. And then you've got justification and redemption, and I already mentioned the word propitiation, is God's law being satisfied so that he might forgive lost sinners. Satisfaction. If you can, every time you read the word propitiation in the Bible there, just think about the word satisfaction. God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God is satisfied that my sins have been paid for. In the Old Testament, of course, there were sacrifices offered up daily and yearly to cover man's sins. But when Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says all those sins were taken away. Not just covered, but taken away. Jesus is our mercy seat, by the way. The mercy seat we know is on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and the blood was placed there by the high priest in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus is our mercy seat, and he is our propitiation for our sins. Jesus Christ is our sacrifice, and his blood placed on the mercy seat makes it so that our sins are covered and taken away and all paid for, and where it's 100% done once and for all and forever. What an amazing thought to think about. So these words, justification, redemption, and propitiation. Let's go back again to verse 24. Being justified freely, think about the contrast here from verse 23 to 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness, not mine, his righteousness, for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, again, not mine, but his, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 27 is what I was alluding to earlier. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. Nope, there's no boasting in heaven. Jerry Treffs gets to go to heaven, but he won't be able to boast about it when he gets there. Nor will I. Nor will Tom Cole or anybody else here. No boasting whatsoever. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. I like that. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. One of the reasons I like this is because as a pastor, every now and then I get to go to meetings where pastors congregate, you know, and a lot of times there's preaching involved, and of course there's fellowship and things like that, and I always enjoy the preaching of other men and hearing them proclaim God's word and so forth, and I look to learn something and be encouraged and all that. But one of the things I don't enjoy is boasting. Now, you would think, wouldn't you, that pastors would be beyond that? Especially when they're with other pastors. And there's not a lot of them that do this, but there's a few that I've known over the years that every time you get together with them, they boast. They boast, and it's not all that enjoyable, especially if you don't have anything to boast about. But when we get to heaven, there won't be any boasting. Even these individuals, and I can see some faces, nobody here, of course, but some faces of some of these that I've referred to, even when they get to heaven, there won't be any boasting. Now, you might have gotten by with it down here on earth, but you won't be doing that up in heaven. Where is boasting then? Well, it's excluded. Let me give you some examples here real quick. Let's use, I hope you don't mind this, Debbie, but in my opinion, Debbie plays the piano just wonderfully, and I really enjoy her piano playing. But you understand, and I think she knows this already, when she gets to heaven, she's not going to be able to boast and brag about what a great job she did here at Stoughton Baptist Church, playing the piano for us. I don't know about you. I don't see her doing that anyway, but there won't be any boasting. Or, you know, her husband, Tom, there, you know, does a good job being our head usher and serves the Lord and is constantly wanting, you know, more to do and all that. I'm thinking about, you know, I should probably give him more to do, but when Tom gets to heaven... I like to have fun with Tom. When Tom gets to heaven, he's not going to be able to boast about anything. And neither will you, and neither will I. And no matter what it is that we, you know, down here on earth, we may think that we have accomplished some great things, but there's no boasting in heaven. You know, even, let's go back to Debbie here just for a little bit. With the playing of the piano, who do you think, now I realize she works really hard on that and practices a lot of hours, I can tell that, but who is it that gives her the ability to do that? God does. Which, don't you think that's why Revelation mentions the fact that when we get to heaven, that we're going to lay our crowns at Jesus' feet? Don't you think that's why? Because there's no boasting. Any talents or abilities that we have, anything that we've used for him while we were here on this earth, won't he get all the praise and the glory for that? Sure. It won't be, there won't be any boasting there. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Verse 27 says, by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? We know the answer is no. Is he not also of the Gentiles? And of course that would be yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, that's the Jews, by faith, and uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles, through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? Again, the answer, God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. See, justification, here's the good news. Justification is apart from the law. The law really has nothing at all to do with justification, except maybe that it points us to Christ and shows us our need of a Redeemer. And secondly, justification is available only through Jesus Christ and believing on Him and what He did on the cross for us. And then justification is accepted by faith. Why is it? It's got to be part of human nature, I suppose, but why is it that most of the religions of the world teach a system of works to get to heaven? The Lutheran Church does. So does the Roman Catholic Church. So does the Methodist Church. So does, you know, most religions of the world teach, you know, getting to heaven by means of works righteousness. But we're not saved by works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. It's nothing that you can do whatsoever. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Think about that. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. Justification is accepted by faith. God is clear in this chapter here that it's not by works, but rather it's by faith, which means there can be no boasting. It's not by works, but rather by faith, which means that Jews and Gentiles, Old Testament saints and New Testament saints, are all saved the same way. Throughout the years that I've been a Christian, I run across every once in a while somebody who believes that the Old Testament saints got saved by keeping the law. That's not true. This chapter is making that very clear. Nobody gets saved by keeping the law. It's not by works. It's only by grace through faith. It's not by works, but rather by faith, which means that the law is not nullified, but rather established. Because God's law reveals my need of grace. God provided grace for me through Jesus Christ, my Savior. And it is God's grace, is it not? God's grace that keeps me saved and helps me to live the way He wants me to live. So justification, this is the good news. Justification is God declaring me to be righteous. It's apart from the law. It's only available through Jesus Christ. And it's accepted by faith. Well, I don't know. That sounds too simple to me. You ever had somebody tell you that? I've had someone tell me that before. That sounds too simple to me. Certainly there's something I have to do to be saved and go to heaven. No, you're wrong, friend. There's nothing except maybe just believing. But, I mean, there's no works. There's no giving. There's no turning over a new leaf. There's none of that. Justification is by faith in what Jesus did for you. And if you're not willing to submit yourself to that, you'll never walk the streets of heaven. Just think. How many folks do we know, and maybe we're even related to some, huh? That think that you have to do something to get there. And they're trusting in their good works. And they're going to be disappointed. Because it's by faith, and by faith alone. I don't know about you, I'm really glad the Lord made it the way He made it. It's so easy and it's so simple that even a child can understand it. And sometimes, really, we talk about us being our worst enemies. sometimes even concerning salvation, we are our worst enemies. Because in our mind, that sounds so simple, too simple. It can't be that easy. Oh, but it is. And you have to realize that, and you have to accept that, because there's nothing that you can do to make yourself right with God. Nothing. Nothing. I want to take this just one step further before I close and pray. And that is, we need to remember also that even after we're saved, you don't work your way into God's good graces by things that you do. And you don't work your way out of God's good graces by the things that you do or don't do. You're accepted in the Beloved because He chose to accept you and make you one of His own. I don't know what that does for you. It doesn't make me say, well, then I can live any way I want to. It makes me want to live for Him. See? People will say, well, then that means you can just sin and do anything you want. No, no, no. You don't merely understand then the Scriptures. Because when I really understand how good and gracious God has been to me, that makes me want to live for Him. That makes me want to do right. That makes me want to try to please Him and honor Him with my life. So my standing with God is already a settled matter because of Jesus, my Savior. And I'm going to go to heaven because He chose me to be His child. And He chose you to be His child also if you believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior. I say often, I'll say it again right here, don't we serve a wonderful Savior? Amen. He is beyond measure wonderful to each and every one of us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we've had to just walk our way through some of these verses in the book of Romans chapter 3. Last week we saw the bad news, which everyone is condemned because of their sin. Today we talked about the good news, and the good news is that justification is available by faith in what Christ did for us on the cross. His blood has paid for and wiped away all of our sin. Once we believe on Christ as our Savior, we are saved once and for all and forever. Never have to worry about that again. Our standing with You is already settled matter. Thank You for that, Lord. Thank You for being so good and kind and gracious to all of us. Bless us now as we close this Bible study portion and get ready for the prayer time. In Jesus' name, amen.